that you're going fishing all the time. He be going fishing too.
Oh yeah, baby, going fishing. Leaf is here. Hi, Leaf.
How you doing, Deputy D?
I am doing good. You know, last time we spoke, we were talking about no ice in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been cold ever since, pretty much, and there is ice in the river.
Well, I believe I was acknowledging that my taunting of Mother Nature had brought some of that on, and I still, you know, I almost hesitate while knocking on some wood.
Yeah.
It's still a weak cold front. I'm not impressed. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I could take that.
You're asking for more, are you?
Yeah. But, you know, I've been getting some tying in, tying some flies. You know, I've been fishing so hard through the first part of this season that I was getting pretty cleaned out in the boxes there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wore out a line the rest of the way from summer. And, it was time to do some maintenance anyway.
Cool.
So I've kind of had some time to do that. And, you know, I see that the temperatures looks like they're bumping up again.
Slowly coming up,
8 or 10 degrees looks like for 6 or 10 days. Mm-hmm. And then I got to imagine it's going to do that again, maybe a little bit more than that, hopefully. Hopefully before the end of the month, because we will be coming to the end of the whitefish season at the end of this month here in February. So I imagine that last week at least is going to be substantially warmer than this has been.
So there's something to definitely plan on, boys.
Yeah, remember to get out there.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a couple folks out there still. One hardcore local guy I know, he rides his snowmobile around by the river. I've been seeing him out during this cold stuff. And I know he's catching fish every time I see him. It looks like he's bringing something in. So,
really?
Yeah, some of these guys are really good and have dialed in the whitefish seasons around here for generations. You know, they know how to do it pretty good. So yeah, just remember the last chance for that is by the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to go fishing. And I've just been hearing that finally those kokanee are rearing their chrome little heads up at Patterson. So took my chance to get up there.
Oh, you did. Yeah. And I'm guessing the ice is plenty solid.
Holy cow. Yeah. It's more like the Patterson ice that I'm used to. Not super thick or clear all the way through, but overall, I think it's about 2.5 feet thick.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's definitely no danger of falling through. I know it was kind of getting sketchy or at least slushy for a while there.
Oh, yeah.
But the exciting thing for me, you know, that got me up there was those kokanee for sure. Mm-hmm. It's been bumped up to a 10 fish limit, which is huge for kokanee because they're one of those few fish that I am looking at keeping.
Yeah.
Such good meat. And with 10 fish in a day, you could fill your smoker and get those into some cans and get almost a whole flat of cans out of that.
I know. It's one of my favorites as well.
And, you know, my friend Greg and I, we did great in the summertime on our fly rods. We were just going around kind of scoping fish in his motorboat. We had a fish finder, and we could see fish here and there, and we were trolling until we found some and stopped. And we were banging them almost every cast. So it could be great fun as well as food on your fly rod and not just the usual downrigger thing come summertime. The most impressive thing for me, though, was that we're seeing what I think is maybe either another age group or just some extremely successful kokanee that have maybe found their fins in this fishery. It's only been, I don't know, maybe not even 10 years that they've been in Patterson. So I remember the first plantings.
Oh,
I took
part
in that.
Yeah, I'd lost track of that.
Yeah, it was something the WDFW only started just a while back, partly because I remember my old boss was such a fanatic about kokanee.
Yeah.
And, you know how it is. There's those groups of people that, with their campers and their boats, they cruise around and camp on kokanee for a month.
You know, truthfully, I've never fished kokanee there at Patterson, but where I have has been more in Montana, and the lakes are huge.
Oh,
they're
my,
like Ponderay-sized lakes. And so I was a little surprised that they would kind of take to a small lake, but I guess it doesn't matter.
What size are the kokanee in that kind of lake? Are they bigger or are they still kind of that standard?
No, standard.
You know,
yeah.
I think the
12, 13 inches. Something like that.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of about that 10 to 13 inch. And then you see those crazy outliers like we talk about at this time of the year in Roosevelt, which are really just sockeye that have been stuck behind Grand Coulee for not a significant enough time, amount of time to really become anything but just a truly landlocked sockeye still. Mm-hmm. They're not, they will become kokanee sockeye after generations and generations and generations being stuck inland, but these guys have not really been stuck there long enough, so it's reflected in the fact that they get huge. And I've caught them on the fly, like we talked about in reports past, up to 4, 5, and more, almost 6 pounds.
Jeez.
those kokanee up there. And so they really vary. I remember seeing one, I think, I want to see it was like Shasta Lake or something down by Mount Shasta or something. And I believe that the caption said they were triploided, and this kokanee was 13 and a half pounds. And it looked like those rainbows that you see triploided over there in Rufus Woods that we talk about all the time. Yeah. Small head, giant fish, but still black back and chrome. And yeah, it was kind of funky looking for sure. But I can only imagine that's a lot of good meat on that fish.
When you're talking food, that's a good way to go, truthfully, even though it's a bizarre thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, you know, the kokanee thing is coming on strong up there at Patterson. I definitely encourage people to get out there and check it out. You can get a lot of that gear here in town, just at the Outdoorsman or whatever. Or, you know, you can go over there to North 40, get anything you need over there at their hardware supply store. Mm-hmm. And you know, definitely just order anything you can't find there online at the North 40 Fly Shop, as far as fly fishing materials, gear, and the ice fishing gear. And also, thanks to our friends there at Drift Waders. Check them out, driftwaderco.com. And I'm encouraging all y'all to give me a call if you need some fishing tips or you want to book a trip. Just give me a call at 509-429-7298. You can send me an email at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, and you can check out the blog or podcast at flyfishersproshop.com. Stay out of the ditch, don't get buried, stay warm, and take care, y'all, while you get that fish right on. Here's a little tip that I'd like to relate. I said, with my pole and my line, I'm going fishing. My mama going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.